Hello and welcome to almost glorious SGR Coffee Break. This is episode 23, and I say glorious because I will trade handies. I will give you a 5 out of 5 review if you give me some bottle caps. Yes, Fallout 4 was announced today, although we all kind of knew it was happening. So anyway, I'm so happy, so stoked. Soon as we can finish this damn podcast, I am downloading Fallout New Vegas. I'm going to go ahead and play through that. I'm stoked. So happy.
See, and I've never played a Fallout game, so I have no opinion on it whatsoever. I have Fallout 1 and 2 because I think GOG was giving them away one day.
Yeah, they might have been. They're also like stupid cheap, so.
So I don't remember if I got them for free. I think I did because there's no way I would have paid for them because I don't know anything about it. I think it's one of those things like they're free today. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I guess I will because I can't, you know, it's kind of harder to turn that down. And I have Fallout 3, the Game of the Year edition. I got it for Christmas years ago. It's still in the cellophane.
You are in for a joyride of glitchiness.
So I was like tweeting yesterday. I was like, well, you know, this hype for Fallout is making me want to put Fallout 3 back into my stack of shame. And immediately I was pelted with, don't do that. Play Fallout New Vegas. Like, why is everybody yelling at me? But I don't have Fallout New Vegas. I have these. I'm not going to go buy another game. And I think that their motivation for telling me that, because they said that Fallout New Vegas has more of a story, whereas the other Fallout games are more of Skyrim.
So, 3 was all right. I mean, I enjoyed it.
I don't know. You know, quite honestly, I am like so busy. I'm supposed to be reviewing, you know, other things and this thing's and then, you know, I still want to play Witcher 3 and Dragon Age Inquisition, and, you know, I'm still working on that platinum for Diablo 3, so Fallout's just not up on the priority list. See, I'm trying to get out of my vocabulary if I don't have time for this. It's because, as I wrote a feature this week in Action Trip, I do have time. I just choose not to make time because I have that time allotted for other things.
Truth.
That's something we all need to put in vocabularies. But that's not what we're talking about this week. We're not talking about what we do and don't have time for. We are talking about something else that the writing's been on the wall for a while. And that is the merger of Prima Games and Brady Games. And I owe an apology to Prima Games because I was trying to make a joke and I put out that I posted the news story that, you know, Brady Games is dead, long live Prima Games, which is, you know, a reference to The King is Dead, long live the King. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, they're not fired. They weren't laid off. They still have their office. They still exist. Like, no, I was making a joke. I'm really sorry. I did not mean to insinuate that Brady Games was shut down. Everyone was fired. And all that. No, they're still in existence. They are just now in the big umbrella of Prima Games. But like I said, we've been seeing this go for a while. As when I found out, well, let's give some little history. I put this in the news story, but Brady Games is owned or was owned by Penguin Books Publishing Company, and Prima Games is owned by Random House. What I didn't know was that Random House bought out Penguin Books several years ago. So Random House, now this parent company, now owns Prima Games and the parent company to Brady Games. So they're both already under the same house in terms of publishing. But they're both were kind of doing their own thing. Neither one of them were releasing, you know, the same stuff. Because that's the way it's always been. They always would, publishers and developers would contract out with a certain book company. But it's been interesting because Prima Games, I think a couple of years ago, they started really taking off with their own site and making it more editorial and having news stories and stuff like that. They started publishing their own online guides to games that Brady already had guides for. So I was like, well, that's kind of shots fired. I mean, you know, Prima, their stuff was free. It was an online wiki. First, despite in the book, I was like, well, that's not a problem with this. Like, that's, you know, you're technically not stealing their material because, you know, you didn't have the contract to put the book and you're not making money. But dang, shots fired. But at the same time, you know, competition. I'm a big person for capitalism and the free market. So I always feel like the more competition, the better, because then that motivates people to better quality of stuff. And we had seen Brady Games knock up a few notches, I think, last few years. The strategy guides have been very good. But then I started hearing rumblings from friends who worked at Brady Games. Like we can't tell you what's going on, but we're about to not exist. I'm like, really? And then I would start getting guides. Oh, this one doesn't have it. I'll pull up Splatoon that had both symbols on the back, and Brady. And that started before the official announcement. And then suddenly the emails I would get from my Brady Games contacts were at pregames.com. This is our new email address. It's like, oh, this is just getting more and more interesting. So when they did officially announce it, it was not that big of a surprise. Yet it is, because it's been weird, because since I started, when I first started Strategy Guide Reviews, there was Pregames and Brady Games. And there were, like, a few other smaller companies. Like, there was a company called Double Jump, and they did all the Disgaea guides. And then there was, you know, Nintendo had their own in-house with doing guides until they made a contract with Prima. And I've seen some of the smaller publishing companies go away, because they just probably, you know, Disgaea is kind of a niche game. I know it's popular, but it is very niche. Or niche. I always forget how the proper way of saying it is. But, you know, they just went away for whatever reason. And now we just have this one big powerhouse. It's kind of crazy, because you don't see that. It's not that way in Europe. It's not that way in Japan. I mean, Japan, it's a free market in Japan. I mean, there's so many strategy guide publishing companies out in Japan. So it kind of makes me wonder what the future is going to be in the U.S. for strategy guides, or just makes me wonder what my future is running the site. I guess if it goes away, then, you know, it's been a great run. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I don't see the books totally going away. It's just we're in an interesting situation.
Yeah, that we definitely are. The internet is definitely taking over.
And yeah, and it's kind of hard to justify, you know, paying for an online guide. You know,
yep. It's
I mean, even though, like,
that, though, it's like,
yeah,
you go to YouTube for free, you know, you can play a game up to a point, and then if you get stumped, you're like, okay, I'll just YouTube it real quick, and you can get a little video, see what you got to do, mm-hmm. and then you just move on. So,
there is that. I mean, but I guess the only difference between paying for it is at least you would have it up front, versus having to wait for people to play it. Although several, video game media people, you know, because they get games so far in advance, they're doing how-tos on video while they're reviewing it, so they're able to publish them on day one, or within that first week. So it's I don't know. It's we're in an interesting time, because I don't like getting online stuff, because I like having the book, being able to easily peruse through it and find what I need. And I like, I like some of the extras, like the concept art and things like that. And I like how they look on my shelf. The shelf is awesome.
Yeah. I think, they need to, I mean, obviously, we're seeing a dwindling of strategy guides, and I think what they need to do now is kind of up the game a little bit, you know, from I'm looking at my shelf, and I have a lot of paperback stuff, and the ones that I really like the most are usually the collector's editions. I think we need to, you know, Prima, I guess they're going to go by Prima, right, after this, with this merger?
Yeah, it's 100% Prima. Oh, that was the other thing. Another, you know, bit of writing on the wall was that, gosh, several months ago, all the Brady Games online guides got merged over at PrimaGames.com. Which I was like, well, okay. You guys have something to announce? My friend was like, I can't say anything. Okay. Which basically means you do.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be, it's.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have, I usually at E3, I have official appointments with the strategy guide companies and on our company. But this year I do not because my schedule is just too crazy. So I'm trying to arrange like to meet with my Prima Games guys, like for drinks one night, just be like, just kind of hang out and talk. Of course I'll make it, you know, unofficial. I'm not going to sit there and report on anything, but it'd be really interesting to see if, you know, he lets me know anything. Yeah. Oh, it just sounds like to me, because Random House and both are like, well, this is stupid. Why do we have two competing book companies? Just put them together. This is most likely what happened. But like, is somebody else going to like step up, or do they just have all those contacts that, you know, that they're able to, you know, convince the companies, and they have the rapport with GameStop to convince them to sell the books? Because I know that is one thing I did get from I don't remember who it was I talked to at E3, but they were saying that, you know, that they wanted to do a book on a new IP, which was Infamous Second Son, but none of the retailers would agree to carry the book because it was a new IP, even though Infamous is not technically a new IP and neither is Killzone, but they can get anybody because it's a brand new console. They're like, no, we can't get anybody to carry the book. Anybody being willing to carry the book, you have no sale. Even though Amazon would definitely sell the stupid book.
Oh, yeah. That's, wow, okay.
I guess not that I really needed a strategy guide for Infamous, because I don't know, I got through it just fine. But that's not the point. The point is my shelf looks weird because I have Infamous and Infamous 2 guides, and there's no Infamous Second Son. Like my Kingdom Hearts guides. Okay, I have Kingdom Hearts 1.5, and there is no 2.5. Do you understand how crazy this is driving me? And I'm not alone, Prima. I am not alone in this. My friend I saw this past week, and we were both bitching about it. Oh, yeah. Shelves look wrong, man.
You're adorbs. OCD.
I have all these Kingdom Hearts games. All of them. And no 2.5. And I haven't really played all of 2.5, but I found out with my friend who has, they've really changed it up. There's a lot of new stuff in there. Like, guide would have been nice.
Hashtag OCD what problems. We're
nothing wrong with OCD problems.
That's what I hear. Hashtag OCD problems. I mean, I'm the same way. I mean, come on, let's face it.
I'm not that bad that I look down at my laptop right here and it's like I have like a bunch of toys sitting on my desk, and I just realized that I have both of the ends are with Assassin's Creed characters. They're not mixed in there, the ends. Got Arno and Ezio. Then I have all the Links on one side and the Zelda characters on the other. Okay, so maybe I have issues. I didn't realize I did that. It wasn't planned. Like that. Wow.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Things I learned about myself by looking at my computer desk.
Oh, that's so cute.
No, oh, I'm so glad I'm so amusing. Mm-hmm. So I know your thoughts probably are on the merger. You don't care as long as we keep putting out good books.
Yeah, I mean, we've lost so many strategy guide companies, and it sucks. I mean, I remember going to the store to buy strategy guides, and when I worked at EB, it was a big thing, right? Like, you buy a game, you hawk the strategy guide along with it, and that was pretty easy to do. Mm-hmm. And now it just, you don't see the books around anymore. Like, even going to Best Buy or Target, you can find maybe one or two of them when a new game releases, depending on the game. And Best Buy, I mean, their selection is like nothing. And let's face it, Barnes and Nobles, I mean, I think the closest one to me
tried to look for a strategy guide at Barnes and Noble, because usually if I have to buy a guide, or if I'm planning on buying a guide, I just go through Amazon, you know, because I have that Prime membership, so hey, it gets delivered to me. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to go hunting down in stores and seeing if they have or if they don't, because I used to go where I used to live, there was a GameStop really, really close to me, and like almost across the street. So I would go there all the time for strategy guides, but they only cared like one copy in stock, so therefore they didn't have one for me. or they just didn't care about them. So the covers were torn or bent or whatever. It's like, I'm not paying full price for this mangled cover.
Yeah. So I don't know. Kind of with you, and we're kind of approaching like what's going to happen next. You know, I mean, they've basically, Prima and Brady have already basically been merged, let's face it, for however long now, but
a while.
So I mean, really, them just making it official, nothing that really scary. It's just more like, you know,
it's just more like the, it's a big boom, like the, like, guess this is official, this is final. We are in a weird time for strategy guides. And because, like, I look over at my shelf right now and I could pull out, like, I should do that for my little strategy guide photo of the day. Pull out, because I have about, I'm looking over, I think I have about 4 or 5 different Ocarina of Time strategy guides. Because they're all, because not that I've bought them, like, one I bought and others, like, people have found, like, hey, we thought of you and got you this. And it's been funny because they're all from different publishers. But that was like how it was back in the 90s. Like, you just,
oh, yeah. You had to, yeah, pick, like, you had the same game, but you had to pick which guide. So you thumb through both guides just to see which one you thought was better, and then you invested in it. So,
yeah. And funny because they both say on there, I think both Marketing Time ones, they both have, like, on there as, like, the official, the most complete. Yeah. Like, okay, so if I ever play it, I'm going to use those. Like, I'm going to pull it out and see, like, really, how complete are you?
Oh, so I don't know. I'm really curious to see what their design's going to look like, you know, because right now Brady Games, they had that nice orange strip at the top and then a white spine following that, where Prima was, they're all red and
solid
white.
Red.
So
yeah,
it'll be curious to see if they, you know,
if they keep their branding.
Yeah.
Depending on the particular, which house they publish it, California or Indiana.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. Or if they just do come up with something new.
I'd be happy to see more collector's editions, just so we have more variety on the shelf. Because when I look at my shelf, I see so much orange tabs. And then I see, you know, a bunch of the solid red. But my eye really goes to the big fat collector's editions, because the spines are so colorful, and it almost makes buying the book a little more worth it when it's just, you know, that nice, pretty hardback.
Yep. And usually, I mean, like one I just got from Future Press for Bloodborne, I mean, now you're starting to get codes and stuff. So, like, you get that dynamic theme for your PS4 now. And that was nice. It's a nice little touch. You know, what was it? Some of them had character stuff. Some of them, you know, downloads for extra content, just that kind of thing. They're gonna have to start doing that. I think you kind of draw a little bit more interest again. Well, let's face it, people like.
Well, and one thing that we're talking about, like with the YouTube videos, one thing that Future Press has done since they came out with the first Bayonetta guide, I think that might have been their first time to do this, was with the first Bayonetta guide. They would have in there like a little code you could put in on the website. So, like, if you didn't understand how certain strategy worked, there was videos. You just had it, and the only way you could access it was if you had proof of owning the guides. Like, you had to, like, register with Future Press, and then you had to enter in your code. It would pull up that particular video. So, I mean, I'd be interested for Brady and Prima to do something like that. Yep. Of course, let's not, you know, go insane with it, like with what happened. I think it was on Kotaku recently. The worst strategy guide ever. I think it was a strategy guide for Final Fantasy IX. Where, like, on every single thing, it was like, you know, you do this. To learn more how to do this, visit. And it was like a website, like, for everything.
I've seen those in there. And I'm like, you're creating a disconjoint experience at this point. Because the person sitting in front, let's face it, like, if they're sitting in front of their TV, they have the book. Now you're forcing them to either get up and go to their computer, pull out their tablet, pull out their phone, go to a web address.
Well, but that was Final Fantasy IX. That was before we had the tablet and smartphone era. Oh. I mean, that was, you probably had to get and go to a different room because laptops were crazy expensive back then. So, yeah.
You did it at work. Let's face it. You
did it at work.
Because your work internet was faster than your broadband at home. So,
what? broadband at home back then. It was dial up. Final Fantasy IX era?
I was fresh. I had broadband. Because it was also the same time Final Fantasy XI was out.
No, because we're talking 9, so we're talking way before 10, so we're talking the PS1 era.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think there was broadband back then because that would have been when I was in college, and we didn't really get broadband until I got to, the end of my college era, because I still had dial-up all the way through. I still had an AOL dial-up connection all the way up until I graduated.
Oh, God. So I was just watching the Daily Show, and they brought up that dial-up sound. I was like, oh, God. And then they had the AOL welcome to AOL or whatever. I was just like, oh, God, so many horrible memories. Just waiting for that.
Actually, I had all of mine changed, because this is what I do. So I had all these South Park sounds. So whenever I got mail, it would do the AOL. Well, you had Stan going, oh my God, you've got mail. Yes. I had that. And I also had like Homer Simpson going, the mail is here. Ooh. Oh, God. Man. I don't remember what I had for welcome. I had some South Park thing for welcome. Oh. And I think like when you logged off, I had Cartman screaming, respect my authority. Instead of goodbye. But yeah, I go to my parents and they have broadband, like they have cable. You know, they have Time Warner. She still pays for AOL.
Yeah, I wonder how many people still pay for AOL and just don't even realize it.
Oh, she knows it. I make fun of her all the time. But she's comfortable with it. She still uses the AOL browser for stuff. I mean, because she had never learned Internet Explorer. Like, you try to put Firefox on there, and they're like, what's this newfangled thing? And yeah.
Oh, good times.
Not parents.
I know.
Yeah.
So, what have you been playing?
Well, I had a severe lack of technology over the weekend, because after all we talked about what I was going to bring for gaming and everything, and then it ended up changing at the last minute because I ended up getting this review code for Steam. I was like, will it work on my Surface? Oh, it does. Will my Xbox 360 controller, my wired one, work on the Surface? Oh, it does. Score. Yay. This is what I'm taking. It's so much lighter than my PS4. So I took my 3DS, my Surface, my Vita, because, you know, maybe I'll play some Mortal Kombat. The only thing I played was Street Pass. The only thing I did. Like, because every night we would just kind of sit and talk, or we were just so tired, or we had just been so overstimulated all day. The last thing we wanted to do was look at a game. Like the Saturday night, you know, we were doing the con all day, and we went and saw Avengers Age of Ultron, which if you've seen that, you know it's very action-packed. It's constant. It never stops. It's constant. So we got back to her place about, 10 or 11, and we talked about putting in a game, but we're just like, no, we don't think we can handle looking at anything more shiny and moves fast. Nope. We just poured some wine and just sat and chatted. So the only thing I did was Street Pass. At the con, I didn't even play any Bravely Default at the con. And while I was on the plane, I finished my Witcher book. So, hey, there's when we were taxiing into my terminal in Dallas, I finished the book. So that's how much of it I read, like on the way there and on the way back. So yeah, so not much gaming was had, but I only have 3 puzzle panels left to fill, because there was so much street passing. And it was one of those that is at a con. It was like every time you get your 10 and you clear them out, there's another 10 right there. So even I was waiting in line for Keith David's autograph session, I was constantly. And then we would do it in the middle of the panel, because we read the panel until the audience question been, because I never enjoy that part, because it's so rare they actually have a decent question. And so we would whip out the 3DSs and do street passing then. So yeah, that was all I did while I was there. But I did play some Adventures of Pip, which is the game that I am reviewing. And by the time this goes up, the game will be out, so I'm not breaking any embargoes. And it's I played this at PAX South, And it's a 2D platformer. It's a puzzle platformer is the best way to put it, because your character Pip starts off as one pixel and he develops this ability to go into 16 and 32 pixels. And he can go back down, but each pixel size has its own distinct abilities. Like the 16-bit, he's able to climb up walls. And the 32-bit, he's able to move things, or he's heavy enough to break things. And he can't crouch. So you have to use the one pixel to, you know, go underneath things, or use the one pixel. The one pixel can jump highest and can float when you jump. So you have to constantly, like, gauge things of when to go back and forth. And you can merge down very quickly, but you have to find certain enemies to beat in order to merge up. And you're supposed to, like, find all these villagers, and they're all hidden in different areas. And there was, like, one I could see, and I was like, I cannot figure out, or I'm just not good enough to figure out how to do this without dying a lot. So, yeah, you're just going to stay there. But you can go back at any time and redo a level. So I have a feeling that when you get more abilities with how, because I haven't gotten the 32 yet, I've just gotten up to the 16, that you'll, you know, it'll be easier to do certain things, or you'll be better at game controls to go back. It's a lot of fun. It was a Kickstarter project. I played it at PAX South. I highly recommend it. It's going to be out on Steam June 4th and Wii U June 9th. No other platforms. So, if you like platformers of any type, or like, it's got a really cute quirk, and it's a lot, and I don't like platformers. I guess I've gotten more tolerant because I've been playing a lot of platformers this year. I mean, Axiom Verge and Assassin's Creed Chronicles China, and now this. I mean, that was a stealth platformer. I mean, there's everything about that I should hate, but I loved it. And Adventures of Pip, it's a good time. So I'm doing that, and I am so hooked on this Mortal Kombat X card game. I had to start over because for whatever reason on my iPad, it just does not work. I can't get it to connect to my WB account. It says I don't have internet connection. I'm not alone. If you go into the reviews, a lot of people are having this problem. So just on a whim, I was like, I'll just put it on my phone and see what it does. Well, apparently there was a lot of features I never had that when you have the online connectivity, it's so much better. So I've actually been able to, you know, play online with the faction wars, and it's fun. It is so much fun. And because I was having to save so much coins, well, because I was missing so many features that gives you coins, like when people, you know, use your ally. Why had nobody ever used my ally on the iPad? So I've been able to buy like so many cards, and like the faction war stuff is actually a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun getting up my maximum points to donate to the war, and been able to actually get more gold cards because I'm able to get more souls because of the way that the because when you play the faction, you get more souls and you level up super quickly when you play online compared to just running through the towers. So yes, I'm starting over. So I don't have my gold card, Sonya. I don't have my gold card, Kitana. I got my first gold card the other day, and it was Sub-Zero. I'm like, I don't want Sub-Zero. But now I can actually get a bunch of rewards onto the console games. I've unlocked a whole bunch, so I'm excited.
Yay.
So I know you've played a little bit, but that you were wondering how to get Farmer Jack's costume? That's how.
Yeah.
It's by doing so many faction ladders.
Yeah. When I hooked up my WB account, apparently the very first one you get is that future Raiden. So I walk around like a freaking... That's what that was pretty
cool. So the first one I got was Ninja Mime Johnny Cage.
I got that for the card game, but I didn't get that on the console game, so...
No, I haven't connected it on the console, so I need to try to do that today and see all the goodies I might have gotten from the various stuff.
Yeah, and then it'll because then it pulls in all the stuff that you've done on the console version. And like, I was going through, I think like 8 or 10 messages of, yes, I'll take the coins. Yes, I'll take the coins. Oh, I have Mime Johnny. Okay, do this. Coins, coins, souls, coins, coins, souls. It's crazy.
But it's fun, isn't it? It's a fun little game.
It is.
It makes my phone run incredibly hot, but, you know.
My iPod is a little bit sluggish on it, but, and I can't seem to get it on my tablet, my Android tablet, because it just, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Maybe it's a tablet thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll try putting it on my phone, but my phone is like, you know, 2 years old now, so. And we all know
that. Is it your screen cracked?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's time to get a new phone. So obviously,
well, that's all I've been playing.
So I played the MKX card game. Yesterday, day before, something like that. So I finally did that, and then obviously that meant I went and played MKX because I was like, okay, now I've got the accounts linked. Let's see what happens, and so I did all that. It is.
I really want to be friends with you in the card game because I want to bring you in as an ally. But I hate that you just can't add someone as a friend. You have to like tag them. You have to be available to tag in as an ally, and then you can add them as friends. So every single time I play, I just look for your name and like, okay.
Yeah, I don't. And I wonder if it's because you're playing on Android and I'm playing on iOS right now. If we'll ever cross paths, I don't know.
It shouldn't matter, but I can see where it does.
Yeah. So.
Which sucks.
So yeah, start playing that. It's a fun little game. Pretty easy. I haven't seen any of the massive. I mean, there's lots of stuff you can buy for real world money, but I haven't really saw a need for that in the time that I was playing. It seemed pretty much just playing.
Oh, I haven't spent any real world money yet.
So
I don't plan on it.
I wouldn't either. But so we'll see how we'll keep playing that. Also playing a lot more Destiny. Blake and I are now working on our third characters. Because I was just like, might as well have all three. So we're just about done with the main story. We're under leveled now, so we got to kind of grind that out. Also been playing a lot of that with my brothers. Also been playing GTA 5 with my brothers. I'm working on the Bloodborne guide, so I'm playing that. Well, how far am I? I think I'm about 2/3 of the way through it now. So it won't be up next week, because next week I go camping. It should be up the following week. So that'll be the Bloodborne guide. And then I was a bad person. I did the whole buy an early access game because, you know, it used to be demos that you used to do. Now we're paying for them. And it's very much an early access game. I'm glad that I'm fine with the fact that I sent them money because it's just like, here's some support. But,
and what game is it? You haven't said the title.
Lego Worlds. Yes, I traded in Minecraft for Legos, and you know it's very early accessy. It's kind of janky and jittery, so the frame rate isn't all quite hammered out. I like some of the things that they're doing. Like, if you take Minecraft and apply it to Legos, it's basically the same thing. You just basically run around the world, build things, attack things. You can raise and lower terrain, and you can hop in a bulldozer and it basically will flatten out the land and digs right into a giant hill until you get stuck. The camera on that part kind of gets shitty because it has no idea what the hell to do, because the whole game plays in third person. So you basically get your little Lego minifigure and you're driving him around. I do want to try it with the controller. I was using a mouse and keyboard, so I want to see if it uses a controller, because it seems like it would be a very good game for that. The one thing that I haven't quite figured out if I really like the idea or don't really care for the idea is instead of having recipes, like you'd have to discover the recipes in Minecraft, if you want something, like if you want to, you can get vehicles. Well, in order to actually have those vehicles listed in your little, you have like a little jog dial thing that you can choose, you know, vehicles or design your little minifig. Well, in order to get those vehicles, you have to find them in the world. So you basically find them, you tag them or run up and touch them, and now it shows up in your little list of vehicles. If you want to customize your minifigure, you have to find other minifigures around the world in order to get those parts and costumes and all that. Same thing with if you want to build a world and you want to put down the little, you know, three-pronged flowers, you have to find those flowers in the world, and then it becomes a thing that you can actually do. So I like the aspect in Minecraft where you kind of had the little recipe thing and you had to figure out the recipes or go online and find the recipes. This makes it a little bit easier because you just got to find it. It makes you want to run around the world a little bit more. I just haven't quite figured out how I feel about that. Because there are certain things, like if you watch their little trailer, they have like this giant drill vehicle that apparently drills through, you know, the land and leaves you nice big tunnels, and I haven't found that yet. So, but it's very colorful. It's Lego. You still run around and punch stuff and still get all the little coins bouncing all over the world. So if you love that about the games, you're going to be doing a lot of it here. The world construction, it's because it's third person, I don't find it as easy as what it was with Minecraft, because you can't really get a good feel for, you know, where things are going and how it's working out. So I really hope that we see a first person view kind of come in here.
Well, that is early access, right?
Yes, it is early access.
So. Is this done by TT Games? Traveler's Tales?
Yeah, that sounds familiar. I think I would open up Steam, but I'm afraid that would start updating. So
yeah, I'll look it up real quick. But, because I mean, that's why I asked. Well, I mean, Traveler's Tales has done all the Lego games in the past, and they're just, I love Traveler's Tales because I love the Lego game, but they're just known for weird bugs. Yes, it is them. TT Games.
So
that's a real big risk, getting a TT Games game in early access. Because you're basically their Q&A team.
Yeah, I told myself I would never buy an early access game. I always wait for it to, you know, come out. But it was like Lego Minecraft, yay! It's playable. There's definitely stuff that's missing that you can tell is coming along the way. So, and it's fine. It's early access, right? I know a lot of people that buy early access. So I already kind of knew that I was going to run into a lot of bugs. It just, there are certain aspects of, if you're going to kind of market this as like a Lego Minecraft, that you kind of need to put in there. And that first person building is kind of a big one for me, because right now, like, you get, if you want to raise and lower your terrain, you can either do it like, you can flatten it out, which puts the little flat bricks. So if you want to, they call it smoothing. So it puts those nice flat bricks all over everything. I thought that was pretty cool. But if you want to like raise and lower land, you get this gun thing, and you're sitting so far back from your guy, you can't really get a good take on how far down you've dropped something or how high up you're making it, what it looks like on both sides. So that means now you're going all over their construction, though. Like, to if you're gonna basically build a Lego model, that part is the part where I really wish you had first person, because you get all these bricks and now you're gonna have to start placing them, and it basically, you can basically hold down your mouse button and just drag your mouse wherever you want to go, and it will just place bricks, and you can change the color, and you get all the different brick types. So, you know, a standard 2x2 block 4x4. So it's, they got a lot of stuff there. It's definitely early access. It's $15 for the early access version. So, I mean, if you like the Lego games and you're into the Minecraft, it's something that I would probably at least put on my wish list and see, you know, how it pans out and evolves. I'm
hoping they do a iPad version of it for my son, because he would love it. And no, I'm not ready for him to play on a PC.
Yeah. And I mean, you already got Minecraft on every freaking mobile device now anyway, so I don't see why this...
Yeah, he plays Minecraft on his iPad all the time. His favorite, I know I've said this before, but his favorite thing to do is to hurl lava into the water. Because it makes a big splash.
So, and the world seems... Gotta say, the world seems pretty big. It's really odd how you come up with worlds, though. Like, they give you three sets of four numbers, and you basically just put in a coordinate, and then it pops up this little itty bitty map of what your world would look like. And then you get in the world and you're like, I guess this is what that little map looked like at the first place. But so far, you know, I ran from a desert into like a nice lush green field area, and then swam across some water because I was chasing down a king because I wanted to beat him up. And so we swam across this water, and then I ended up on some frozen land. So I had all these new enemies and stuff kind of roaming around. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to jumping back into it a little bit, playing maybe over lunch and just exploring it a little bit more. So early access, good times. Anyway, that's what I've been playing. So take us home, Carrie.
Actually, I'm very excited because I was just checking the PlayStation Store. And the classic pack, classic costume pack that comes with the combat pack DLC for Mortal Kombat is live. So Mortal Kombat 1 Sonya Blade, go! So excited. And everyone's like, but she looks so stupid. She looks like a yoga teacher. I don't care. That's the Sonya that I played with. So I don't care how stupid and dated it may look. She may be there ready to just, you know, be sweating with the oldies, but I don't care.
Oh, then
it's going to be a good time.
You got Raiden is like white bed sheet and that terrible hat.
The hat is cool, man. Oh, I will say at MomoCon, I did see an awesome Raiden cosplay where he actually had the contacts, so that made his the whites of his eyes all black, and it was blue, but they glowed. So it was like a light up blue. Damn. So I don't know what it did to do that, and I hope it didn't kill his eyes, but it looked very cool.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. So leave a comment on this post with what you want us to talk about. And speaking of that, if anyone out there is interested in a Witcher 3 Collector's Edition strategy guide, I have an extra. It's totally, it's still in the cellophane. It was a little surprise from Prima Games. So this is what I would like you to do. If you would like to win that, the first person to comment on this post, as in the post on the website, not Facebook, not Twitter. Let's see, what should I have them answer? Huh. What do you think, Chris? You have any ideas?
Well,
I got it. Okay. So, since I said that I had to start over in Mortal Kombat X card game, and I have one gold card, who is that gold card?
Aw, snap. Now you're going to have to listen.
That's right. You're going to have to go back and listen all the way. So, the first person to comment on the post on strategyguidereviews.com will win Witcher 3 Collector's Edition. You do have to be in the United States. Making that clear right now. Very sorry about that. I'm sorry. I cannot. It comes out of my own pocket. I can't afford international shipping. Maybe one day when we make all the monies, I can do that. But right now, it has to be U.S. only. So anyway, or if there's something else you want us to talk about, you can email me at strategyguidereviews@gmail.com. Do not email me about the Witcher 3 guide there. I will not answer you. I will laugh at you and press delete. And next week, we will be talking about E3 because I am going and my schedule is booked incredibly solid. So I know Chris has some questions for me, things that he would probably want me to talk about that I may be texting him while I'm there, although I think he might be out of town that week. Anyway, he'll still get annoyed by me. He's like, hey, I'm playing Dark Souls 3, man.
And then he'll write back. Hey,
man, and he just write back, fuck you. So you can follow each of us on Twitter. Chris is at Starvin. I am at Crunchy Chocobo. The site is at Strategy Reviews. And of course, we ask you keep on reading SGR. I will get my Witcher 3 review, maybe 2017. By the time that steampunk was it not steampunk cyberpunk 2077 releases, and Chris is working on Bloodborne. Haven't made any decisions about Splatoon just yet, so most likely will not be reviewing that. But my son happened to see my extra book the other day, and he's like, do I get this book? So I don't know now if I'm going to be giving away the second book or not. Sorry. Because he kind of really wants the game. And since there is a single-player faction, I might consider it. But then I'll just show him Skylanders, and then he just will run off to the next shiny toy.
You and shiny.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of how it works when you're seven. Anyway, so, but we will be back next week with E3 stuff. Until then, we will see you later.
And with that, we're out. Peace.